Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how our first century father in the faith, Paul, opened every one of his letters to his fellow Christians in the first century. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, may you be filled with peace and grace from God. And then typically included in his letter would be a strong encouragement to extend grace and peace to one another and then to the rest of the world. Grace and peace. Anybody need grace and peace today? Sometimes he'd also throw in the word mercy. Anybody need mercy today? My hand is up. Does this world need grace and peace and mercy today? Yes, it does. That's how Paul began every one of his letters, and other early church fathers such as Peter, James, and John opened their letters in very similar ways. Peter opened his letters this way: may God give you more and more grace and peace as you grow in your knowledge of him, implying that the more you grow in your knowledge of him, of Jesus, the more grace and peace you will have, and the more grace and peace you will pass on to others. So, question for you today. Where are you on your peace meter today? There's a meter between 1 and 10. Where are you at? 10 being you are virtually already in heaven, and 1 being you think you might actually be in hell. Where are you on your peace meter right now? Listen to me. God wants you to have, to possess, to be filled, to overflowing with grace and peace and mercy. He wants that for you. Now, I emphasize that because the enemy wants you to believe that you don't deserve grace and you shouldn't be feeling peace right now, not with all the suffering and injustice going on in the world. But Jesus preached peace and he extended peace in just such times and circumstances as the ones we're in right now. In fact, on the eve of what was arguably the greatest miscarriage of justice in human history, Jesus, knowing what was about to unfold, said to his disciples this: "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. The peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. Do not let your heart be troubled, and don't be afraid." See, we have a good shepherd. Good meaning he is really good at his job. Not one of his sheep will be lost, neglected, or ever in any real danger. I mean, sure, it's natural for sheep to experience fear at the sight of a pack of wolves, but you don't need to fear because you have a good shepherd, the best, the most capable, competent, experienced, equipped shepherd there ever has been. There will always be packs of wolves, but you will never need to fear because you will always have your good shepherd looking after you. Follow him and you have nothing to fear. Listen to his voice. It's a voice of grace and mercy and peace. It calls his sheep together. Listen to his voice. Get to know his voice. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and they know me." Now, I'm fully aware that in our culture, being a sheep is not considered a complimentary or a positive thing today. These days, a sheep is someone who is just blindly following someone else. That's kind of what it means to be a sheep today. You know, blindly following, maybe the crowd perhaps, you know, or some figurehead. If you're a sheep, you're just a follower, a dumb, unthinking sheep. But that's exactly what Jesus refers to us human beings as: dumb sheep who will blindly follow whoever. It's one of the most common ways that he referred to people in general, as sheep. And it's true. The reality is, we're all sheep. The question is, who is your shepherd? Make no mistake, you're following somebody or something. There may be those who claim, "I'm no sheep," but they are in denial. They are following someone, some philosophy, some ideology, some school of thought. everyone. It's inescapable. It's how we're wired, how we're created. We are followers. We were created to follow. We were not created to be lone rangers, to make up our own way, to march to our own tune, but to follow. Even the greatest leaders are themselves followers. And follow is what we do. We all follow something or someone. Human pride wants to deny it, but we are all followers. So the question is, who or what are you following? Who is your shepherd? Jesus says, He is the good shepherd. He knows his sheep, and his sheep know him. Beginning in verse 3 of John chapter 10, this is what he says. The sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't know his voice. There are a lot of voices out there, aren't there? Loud voices, insistent voices, demanding voices. But you know the voice of your shepherd, right? Your shepherd, if you have the good shepherd, your shepherd is the voice of grace and peace and mercy. And his voice stands out especially well in times where there seems to be a lack of grace and peace and mercy. Grace. What is grace? In fact, do this. Comment in the chat box what you think great grace means. What you think grace means. What does grace mean? What is grace? Take a moment to do that right now. Just write in the, you know, just type into the comment box what you think grace means. Among most Christians, the most common definition of the word grace is unmerited favor. It's something that you something good that you don't deserve. Grace is when you've been a jerk, but somebody treats you well anyway. It's when sinners like you and me are shown forgiveness and compassion despite our sin. You know, amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretched person like me. Peace. What is peace? Go ahead and write in your comments as to what you think peace is. How would you define peace? Take a moment to do that. The Hebrew word for peace in Jesus' day was shalom. And it didn't just mean peace and quiet. And it didn't just mean the absence of conflict. It meant a sense of wholeness, a sense that all is well. All is as it should be. It is well with my soul. Jesus promised peace to his followers, to his sheep, even in the middle of trying times. He said, even when things are not well out there, all can be well in here because of the peace that I give. It's a peace not like this world gives. Another time he said this, I have told you these things so that in me you would have peace. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Mercy. What does mercy mean? Go ahead, write it in your comments. What is mercy? What is the definition of the word? What does it mean? Well, I think most of us get this. Mercy means I don't get the punishment that I actually deserve. I do something wrong, I deserve to be punished, and I don't get that punishment. You don't get the punishment you deserve. He or she doesn't get the punishment they deserve. No one gets the punishment they deserve. So, coming back around, what voice or voices are you following? There's a lot of voices out there. Who is your shepherd? Who are you taking your cues from? Who are you allowing to inform and shape your attitudes, your values, your actions, and even your emotions? Let me get really real with you, because I love you. And some of you may have a hard time hearing this. But again, I love you. Some of you, the reality is, the truth be known, your shepherd is not the good shepherd. but it's social media, it's the news media, it's popular culture, it's Hollywood. Those are the voices you are primarily listening to, the ones you are taking your cues from, the ones who are shaping your thinking, your values, and your perspective. Those are the voices that define the truth for you. They are your shepherd, and you are following them, but they are not leading you into grace and peace and mercy. Jesus said there are other shepherds out there that are not good shepherds, and he said that you'll know them by their fruit. Matthew records Jesus as saying this, "Watch out for false shepherds." He actually says, "Watch out for false prophets," but the word shepherd could be used just as valid there. "Watch out for false shepherds. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit, you will recognize them." And then Paul elaborates on what that fruit might look like. This is what he says. "When you follow the desires of your sinful nature," in other words, when you follow what is natural to you, "the results are very clear." This is the fruit, in other words. "Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery." Apparently sorcery was a thing in the first century. But then he mentions things like this: hostility, hatred, fits of rage, jealousy, selfish ambition, dissensions, division, envy, drunkenness and wild parties, and other sins like these. And he says, "Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things as these." The results of following a false shepherd: hostility, hatred, fits of rage, dissension, division, envy. But when you allow the good shepherd to lead you, and I know we're mixing metaphors here, but when you allow the good shepherd to lead you and listen to his voice, what's produced in you and through you is love and joy and peace and kindness and patience, even in turbulent times. Here's what I feel compelled to share with you today. There is no alternative to spending time with your good shepherd, to coming away from all those other voices, to take time each day to turn all that stuff off and letting the good shepherd just remind you of who you are and remind you of who he is, right? He is life. He is love. He brings light to the darkness. He gives hope. He restores every heart that is broken, like we sang earlier. Come away from the noise, from the hateful rhetoric, the hostility, and listen to the voice of your shepherd. I know there's somebody out there thinking, "You Christians, you're all just a bunch of dumb sheep." Yes, that is true. Some of us, though, are at least smart enough to know that we're dumb sheep and we need a good shepherd. Too many others live in denial of the fact that they are, in fact, dumb sheep, and consequently, they wind up following other dumb sheep who wind up following wolves in sheep's clothing, all the while claiming they're not dumb sheep. Everyone is following something or somebody, everybody. Follow the good, the competent, the wise, the capable, the experienced shepherd. Now, learning to recognize the voice of the shepherd is something that may take some time, especially if you haven't really given it much thought or attention before. We're going to be talking about this more in the weeks to come, and I'm going to be pointing you to some resources along the way, devotionals, books, podcasts, but let me just suggest today that if you aren't presently setting aside some time every day to block out everything else and just listen to the voice of your shepherd, let me just suggest you begin by carving out a minimum of 10 or 15 minutes of every day for worship, for Bible reading, and prayer. Those are just three avenues through which you can talk to God, and more importantly, that He can talk to you. God speaks volumes to you when you worship Him. I would suggest reading a little bit from the New Testament and Psalms. Listen to a worship song or two. I mean, it's just that simple. Some people think they can just, you know, kind of listen as they go. You don't need to set aside any time, specific time, you know, because you can just kind of talk to God on the go, multitask, you know, much more efficient that way. Get lots more done. Listen, even Jesus couldn't pull that off. Even Jesus needed to come away from the crowds, from the noise, and be alone with the Father. How much more do you and I? And yes, of course you should be talking to Him all throughout the day as well. Even in the middle of all the busyness and the noise and the things to do, you should do that as well. But unless you get that alone time with God and allow Him to center you and get away from all the noise and allow Him to get you rightly aligned in the starting blocks, well, it's likely you'll just start, you know, you'll just be racing off in the wrong direction. You need that alone time with God. Every one of us needs that alone time with God. Listen, if you can't carve out 15 minutes a day to spend listening to the voice of your shepherd and learning to recognize His voice, especially when you very likely spend many, many times more than that listening to voices on social media, on the news media, and TV, and Netflix, and whatever, if you can't do... Listen, just carve out at least 15 minutes a day. You can do that. Dear Jesus, help us to do that. Help us to be alone with You. It's not a sacrifice, ultimately. In fact, it is the most life-giving thing we can do to listen to Your voice in a world so lacking of grace and peace and mercy, to be alone to You, or be alone with You, and let our shepherd just fill us with those things. Teach us how to hear Your voice. Teach us how to be led by You, our good shepherd, and not just to be filled with those things, but to be then conduits of those things to a desperately needy world, a world in need of Your grace and Your peace and Your mercy, God. May Your kingdom come and Your will be done, Your kingdom of grace and peace and mercy be done in us and through us. Jesus, in Your name, amen.